So this scripture is about washing feet, which is partially is symbolic of surrender. It's a sign of being controlled or subjugated, or can be. Washing feet is very personal, very intimate, loving, and can be sensual too. Washing between the toes can be very intimate and loving and sensual too. Some would say this is love in action, love from Jesus Christ to the disciples. On the other hand, some would say that's disgusting. Some would say it's horrible and repulsive. Some would run a mile rather than wash someone's feet or allow their feet to be washed. Washing feet definitely evokes plenty of emotions. How does it make you feel? What if I choose you to come and have your feet washed? Or chose you to come and wash someone else's feet? Let's test that theory out. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Can I wash your feet?" I wonder what reactions there were from people in their stomach. Some people going, "Oh, that would be nice." Some people going, "Never, never." So firstly, in this particular scripture, it's a shocking scene. Shocking, unexpected, and disgraceful. Shocking, derogatory, and degrading to Jesus. At least that's what Peter thought. In 1:6 it says, "What's this?" says Peter. "What's this? You washing my feet? You're not going to wash my feet. Never. Never." He's shocked, he's stunned, he's disgusted that Jesus would be doing this for him. Peter was indignant. Peter loved and worshipped Jesus. This act is beneath him, beneath Jesus, according to Peter's thoughts. In Peter's mind, Jesus was above him. In Peter's mind, Jesus was the King of all, the King of kings, high and mighty. "What's he doing down there washing my feet?" says Peter. "No, never, never." Peter could only see Jesus like the pharaohs of old. Pharaohs had slaves, slaves that could call them. Slaves that would lift things up for them. Slaves that would bathe them. Slaves that would feed them. Slaves that would do everything for them. Yes, even slaves that would wash their feet. That was in Peter's mind. He saw Jesus like the Pharaoh up there. For a Pharaoh to wash a slave's feet would be out of the question, unthinkable. And this was the way that Peter was thinking. He was thinking this is regrettable, undignified, unjustified, and just plain disgusting. That's why Peter says, no, never. Peter considered this an insult to Jesus. Peter thought this was an act of self-harm from Jesus. Peter was convinced by refusing to wash his feet, he was looking after Jesus, protecting Jesus. Peter was petrified that Jesus' reputation would be sullied, would be tarnished and destroyed by washing people's feet. What would they think? Was what he thought. Peter's thought this would be seen by others as proof that Jesus was not the Messiah, that Jesus was not the King of Kings, that Jesus was not the great I Am. How could the King, the great I Am, stoop down and wash feet? It doesn't make sense in his head. No, we can't do it. But Peter was wrong. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. You see, Jesus' act of washing feet turned everything upside down and inside out. Most people that come to the Lord, if they suddenly realize who Jesus is, their whole world is turned upside down. Their mind is turned upside down and inside out. And when you read the scriptures, that often happens. You read a scripture and you go, that can't be. Until later that you get revelation and you start to understand what's really happening here. Jesus didn't come to boast. And he didn't come to boost his ego. Jesus didn't come to have his feet washed and his ego inflated. Jesus didn't come to subjugate his people. Jesus didn't come to turn his godly people into slaves. Jesus came to lift them on high. Jesus came to set them free. And if he sets you free, you are free indeed. The scriptures tell us. Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin and death. Jesus came to bring salvation, reconciliation and redemption, to set us free to worship and praise. If we choose to, there is no coercion here. You have free will to praise him, to worship him, to take him as your Lord and Saviour. Father, Son and Holy Spirit could have taken control of us from the very beginning. God could have made us believe. He could have turned us into toy soldiers so all of us just said, yes, there's Jesus. But he gave us free will. You see, human kings and human pharaohs, human leaders, want to take control, want to demonstrate their power, want to rule over you and me and us and we. They're desperate to be in control and show their control. And they want you to wash their feet, either literally or metaphorically. Usually human kings, presidents, prime ministers want to effectively dominate or subjugate or castigate. This is what sets Jesus apart. He's not trying to do that at all. In fact, he's prepared to get on his knees and wash your feet. That's what sets him apart. He wants to wash our feet. It signifies his utter confidence. He knows he is God. He knows he is omniscient. He knows he is omnipotent. He knows he is omnipresent. He doesn't need to prove it to you or me or us or we or anybody else. He is the I Am. Full stop. He doesn't need to prove anything to you, like kings need to prove to you. Kings need you to believe they are something they are not. They want you to believe they are all powerful. They want you to believe that they know everything. They are desperate to show their power at all times, to demonstrate this by getting people to wash their feet, while others watch on in awe and fear and trepidation or trepidation. Not so for Jesus Christ Almighty. He is awesome because he wants to wash our feet, because he did wash the disciples' feet. He is awesome because he gave up all privileges in heaven to come down to earth. Philippians 2:5 speaks of Christ giving up all he had in heaven. Why? Because he would wanted to take on the role of a humble servant for us. This is his call in the word to each of us. Adopt the same attitude as Christ, who did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the life of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So here's the point. As God, he could not die. So he became human, specifically so he could die for you and for me. I'll say that again. As God, he could not die, so he became human specifically so he could die for you and me. That is powerful. This is humbleness, humility, personified in the person of Jesus Christ. He humbled himself as God by becoming human. He then humbled himself more by becoming a servant for us. Then he humbled himself more unto death, the most humbling death known to man. In Deuteronomy, it talks about this being a curse to be hung on a tree. In other words, Jesus' death on the old wooden cross, crucified, was Christ being cursed by God, that even though he was God. Further and utter humiliation taken upon himself willingly, more and more and more humbling at each step, more and more humiliation at each step, and he voluntarily took it upon himself. But more than that, then he also went down to hell for 3 days. It tells us that in Matthew and Peter and Ephesians and the Apostles' Creed. This is the greatest fall of all time. Voluntary descent into the depths of hell from the heights of heaven. Only Christ could fall that far. It's a fall from heaven to earth. A fall from God to human, from human to servant, from servant to washing feet, from washing feet to death on the cross, from death on the cross to cursed by God, cursed by God to the depths of hell. That's a fall unparalleled in history. Voluntarily, he took those steps for me and for you, going from heaven as God down to the depths of hell for you and for me. And then, he went from hell to heaven, there is a great victory here. Rising again from hell to heaven, from human to God, ascending to heaven before taking his rightful place at the right hand of God. A rise unparalleled in history. Only Christ could have done this for you and for me and for us. Jesus didn't come to dominate us or subdue us or subjugate us. He came to cleanse us. The washing of the feet is a sign of cleansing. Washing the disciples' feet is to wash us clean too. It's symbolic of our spiritual cleaning inside and out. In 13:8, it says, I'm not having you wash my feet. Never, never, says Peter. And Jesus' response, you don't understand what I'm doing yet, but you will. We, on the other hand, stand on the other side of Scripture. We have read and reread it, and we know it's divine, immaculate, spiritual cleansing. Hallelujah! Because that's what he does for us. Peter finally agrees to Jesus washing his feet. Peter thought he knew better, of course. Have you ever done that? Then says, but wash my hands and my head too. So he finally gives in to God. He thinks he knows to Christ. He thinks he knows better than Christ. And then he starts telling to Christ how to do it. I do that sometimes. I've got 8 out of 10. I don't always get it right. Jesus says in verse 10, someone who is washed doesn't need to be washed again, except their feet. The literal interpretation of this scripture means what it says on the tin. If you are physically washed and bathed, one doesn't need to do it again straight away. However, with one short walk, one's feet will become dirty and dusty again, especially in Israel with open sandals. As you might take your first steps, you might have just had a bath, but your feet are going to be dirty straight away. Jesus knew that. He knew that all of them would need their feet cleaning. But what does this mean metaphorically? What does this mean spiritually? Christ and the Holy Spirit have spiritually cleansed the disciples. It already happened. They knew him. They followed him. They praised him. They were already holy because he was holy. But in their daily lives, in their walk with Jesus, they still sin daily. They're not perfect yet, but they are being perfected. They're being sanctified, but on a daily basis, they sin and become partially dirty. They need to turn to Christ daily for their cleansing of sin. We are holy because he is holy. We follow Christ. We praise Christ. We worship Christ. We are spiritually cleansed. Hallelujah. Yet we sin daily and we need to turn to Christ daily. Our souls are cleansed, but our feet are dirty. Through our daily walk with Jesus, let us turn to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, cleansing us daily. Let our justification turn to sanctification, and ultimately to salvation, redemption, reconciliation, and perfection. This is our hope. This is our future And this is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is the fulfillment of the promise. This is the fulfillment of the final victory of Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, it's our victory too. Hallelujah. He came to serve, not to be served. That's what makes him stand apart. That's what makes him stand out. He wants to wash your feet and my feet and lift you on high. And he wants the victory, not just for himself. He wants the victory for you and for me. Hallelujah. We have a Lord, a God, who is prepared to kneel at our feet and wash our feet and lift us high at the same time. All the other kings, all the other rulers want you to think that they have power. Only Jesus Christ has the power. Only Jesus Christ is humble enough to stoop down and wash your feet because he loves you and because he wants to save you. He is our Lord and Savior. And he says, I am your example. So go and wash feet, metaphorically. Unless, of course, when you asked earlier, they said yes, in which case you can wash their feet. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you that when I read scripture, I see things and you just turn it all upside down. You turn things upside down. People find you and their whole life is turned upside down. Because you do things that are beyond our comprehension. We thank you, Lord, that we can look up to you because you wash our feet. We can look up to you because you do things beyond our comprehension. We look up to you because you are our Lord and Saviour. Thank you that you are all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. And you're here with us now. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.